It's funny, but as you get older, you rely on lots of things more. And the one thing that I always, I'm not sorry that I rely on more, and that is the Lord. You know, the longer, the older you get, the more you need Him. And the easier it is to accept His help and His gifts. It's like kids. Kids, when they're babies, they enjoy all of the attention that they get. And then they get older, and they want their freedom to do their own thing. And then as they get a bit older still, and they start have children of their own, they realize what to put you through. And we've all done that with the Lord as well. You know, the Lord knows us better than anybody else. So isn't it wonderful to be able to come in here and worship Him this morning? I've got a reading for you this morning. And after the reading, we'll have a prayer before I start the message. The reading's from Galatians 1:1-24. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm astonished that you so quickly desert the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say it again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than the one you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I now trying to win the approval or trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous ways, my way of life in Judaism, how I intensely persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me so that I might preach Him amongst the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went to Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stay with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. You know, they praise God not because of Paul, but because of the work that God done in his life, the transformation. You know, and if you trust the Lord, when you look back, times you may not realize it, but when you look back on your life, You can see where his hand is upon it and where he has blessed you, and you have been a blessing to him if you've been walking the walk. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come into this place this morning to be fed by your word. Lord, I pray that you will use me as your mouthpiece. Take all of me out of what you've got to say, because we only need to hear from you, Lord. Lord, help me deliver this message with the courage and conviction and the strength and power that only you can give, that we may grow and be strengthened in our faith each day, growing more into the likeness of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, the title of this message is, There is Only One Gospel. After our reading from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians, as our passage from chapter 1 makes it very clear, the main thrust of this message that I want to get across this morning couldn't be expressed any better than what the Apostle Paul himself did, as you can read in verses 10 to 12 of that passage. It reads as follows. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. It couldn't be any clearer. And that's how we all receive the gospel. It's a sad fact, though, that today in some of our established churches, there appears to be more emphasis on pleasing people, tickling their ears, as it were, rather than preaching the gospel. In some instances, it would seem, if you go into some of our churches, there appears to be more of a social gathering than a fellowship coming together to worship and praise the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. There seems to be a lack of any involvement or participation from the Holy Spirit, which I think is a sad, sad thing. But I'm sure we've all seen it in various forms. They seem to pay more attention to the ways of the world. They neglect the gospel or water it down so that it falls into pace more with society standards rather than biblical teaching. They seem to pay more attention to their traditions than to the gospel. Is it any wonder then that there are a lot who are voting with their feet and looking to move to other churches that stand firmly on the Bible as the cornerstone of the Christian faith? And there can be no other cornerstone of the Christian faith. They ignore or forget Paul's warning that we can read in Galatians 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. You know, that's a powerful verse. But you know, we all, as Christians, as well as the unsaved, need to bear that in mind and be aware of it and remember that warning. God will not be mocked. If you've received and accepted the call from Jesus, then just like Paul, you are a servant of Christ And as such, you have received a commission, not to please people. The commission that Jesus gave to his disciples, we can read in Matthew 28, 16 to 20, which reads, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Wow. Now, I'm sure you'll have noticed there in verse 7, which read, "When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Do you find that strange? Well, I don't. It's important that we remember that we will at times have doubts ourselves about our own standing, our own actions, our own relationships that don't meet up to his standards. We'll have doubts ourselves about how well we're doing in our walk. But don't let it get you too much down. Let me assure you that there are no circumstances ever that you should ever doubt that the Lord loves and values each one of you. Remember the price he paid to bring you into step with him so that you can accept the gifts of the Father through his righteousness. And that's the only justification we've got, is his covering. We remember the one verse that makes that really strong to me was Matthew 28, verse 20, where he says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." He is never going to desert you. You might turn your back on him from time to time, but he is always there. Always there. So I trust that is a comfort to you, that no matter what is happening in your life, you are never alone. At any time, and any time that you're feeling low, all you've got to do is turn to his recipe book, the scripture. And when you look in scriptures, you can find the answer to whatever situation you find yourself in. It's so easy. At times we think that we are so big and so mature, we can do it. We can muscle our way through. And we try, and we try. And it's only when we get a headache and we lose all sense and we start to cry that we get down on our knees and come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I need your help." And it shouldn't come to that. We need to follow the advice that we get from Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 9. And this is things that we must do. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourself were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and a marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with whatever you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Yes, it's lovely to know that he is ever constant. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, there are times when I wish I could say it was the same to me, that I'm the same today, yesterday, and forever. But I would be lying, because it's not possible. Why? Because I'm human. And us humans are so frail, and we can be so flighty, and we can flip from one thing to another very quickly, and we can lose direction. But you know, there's no need to lose direction. If we consult Scripture, it will keep us on the right path. Let's just consider then Hebrews 13 verse 5. I'm not saying it's going to be easy to follow the instructions there. In verse 5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Why at times do we disregard that? As I said, because we're humans. We can be very materialistic, can't we? We're worrying about what we've got or what Mr. Jones next door has got. Should I change my car to a better model or whatever? That's the human in us. We think we know better at times. We know how to cope with our daily lives. As I've said before, and we only turn to God for help when things get beyond our control. But it's important to remember, if you are a child of God, he is your first port of call, and should be in all circumstances. He might direct you to the doctor and get sorted out. Fine. But at least you're going with his blessing. We're going to a doctor. Well, anybody that's got faith in the doctor, hold your hands up. I'll count you in. No hands. You know? But who's got faith in God? You know? Because you can always trust in him. No other friend, no other one but the Lord. There is only one gospel, as I'm sure you're aware. John 3 and 16 makes it very clear. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It could not be any simpler. It could not be any clearer. Yet, why is it that so many so-called intelligent people cannot accept it? Is it because it's too easy? Is it because it's free? And so there must be a catch. But that's human thinking, isn't it? It's too good to be true. And many fail to accept his offer. For that very reason, if you ask them to run a marathon to win acceptance, the number who would be out there would probably be greater. Yet all they've got to do is to believe in Jesus. We need to remember that Jesus promised his disciples, and if you are a child of God, it also applies to you. And when I say you, I mean we. But I want it to be personal so that it's home. As we read from John 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. And that's important. If you belong to God, you have got the Spirit interceding for you and with you, living in you. So when you're thinking about doing anything which you know you shouldn't be doing, remember, you can't pull the wool over his eyes because the Spirit's with you and knows and sees everything that you're doing. Remember, there is only one gospel. And I can't stress that enough. If you forget everything else about this morning's service, just remember, there is only one gospel. And if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have also accepted his great commission as laid out in Matthew 28. Just recapping verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus said, come to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What a promise. What a promise we can hold on to. But there's an important thing that we need to remember. That faith is not just about belief. Faith is about actions. You know, we need to remember that we not only have to talk the talk, but we need to walk the walk. We need to demonstrate what we are and who we are and why we are what we are and who we do it for. And who do we do it for? Does God need us? No, but he wants us, and we do it for him. And that's the way things should be. So remember, you are always loved. You're always in his thoughts, and he wants to hear from you. Often, as Rob and Ola will tell you, and Heidi will tell you as well, when you've got children away at university, you want to hear from them. You want to know what's happening. You don't want to have to chase them all the time. You know, God will chase you from time to time. He'll remind you when you're not paying attention in various ways. Some will be hard. But, you know, they'll be hard for a reason, to refine you and to bring you back into step with him. So I just commend you this morning to remember there is only one gospel and only one thing you need to do, and that's to believe in the one and only Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And with that, I can't have nothing more to say apart from amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for your Son. And Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to be obedient to the Father, even unto death on that cross, for each one of us here. And Lord, if anyone is listening to this message online and they haven't as yet chosen your Son as their Lord and Savior, I just pray, Lord, that they consider the alternative and they get down on their knees and come to him. But Lord, before that happens, you've got to soften their hearts and open their eyes and unblock their ears. But Lord, we just leave all that in your capable hands, because all we can do is put the message out there, Lord, and we rely on the Holy Spirit to deliver the crop. But Lord, we just thank you that you love us, and we ask that you continue to keep your hand upon us. And Lord, that you keep encouraging us to stand firm on your word the cornerstone, which has been laid firmly when Jesus went to the cross for each one of us. And we thank you in his name. Amen.